God bless you this morning. Praise the Lord. So glad to see you in the house of God. And I'm just so excited about being able to share the word of the Lord with you and that your faith be encouraged this morning. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you have been given a measure of faith? Praise be to God. This morning I want to take us to the biblical text, which is probably the scripture that is best known for faith. And let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hallelujah. So while you're getting your Bible and opening it up, take some time to greet one another also. And let's get into the word of the Lord together as one body, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us completely for our lives. Hallelujah. For those of you that don't have a Bible, I encourage you to go out and get one. It's absolutely necessary. But if you don't have one this morning, for whatever reason, the scriptures are going to be up on the screen for you. I do use the New Living Translation, and I hope that you are blessed this morning. Praise God. Everyone got Hebrews 11:1? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:1 reads like this. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance, hallelujah, about things we cannot see. Let me read that one more time. That is so good. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Father, this morning we just pray that you would illuminate your word to our hearts and to our minds. Father, we pray that, Lord, you would help us to live out this word, oh God. Lord, that you would help us develop our faith. We know you have given us faith, Lord. And so we pray, God, that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you would direct my lips, Lord, and help me to deliver the word that you would have for us this morning. Father, I pray that your anointing would rest upon each hearer here this morning, that they not just be simple listeners of your word, but oh God, that we would put your word into practice throughout the rest of our lives. And Father, we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Oxygen is unseen, amen, but to deny its existence on the basis of it being invisible would be naive. We know that there is oxygen because we are breathing this morning. We are alive this morning. Doesn't it feel good just to take a nice deep breath? Go ahead and just get a nice deep full lung of oxygen. Doesn't that feel wonderful? Hallelujah. It even relaxes you, doesn't it? To fully understand faith is to realize that the world you cannot see is as real as the visible world we see daily. Sometimes I think that we allow what we see to dictate all of our life and dictate what it is that we're doing. But dear friend, this morning I want you to know that the unseen world is as real as what we are seeing here today. There is a world that is in the supernatural, and though our eyes cannot fixate or focus on those things, does not negate that they exist and that they are. And faith is something that is invisible. Faith in God through his Son is vital to our lives. The scriptures indicate to us that faith is the measure by how we please the Lord Jesus Christ. In scripture, it's written, without it, you cannot please God. You and I have to have faith. It is for that reason that God gave us a measure of faith. Hallelujah. And by that faith, we believe that he is. Even though you cannot see God this morning, you know and you believe that he is because of your faith. Amen. While God has given each of us a measure of faith, and hallelujah for that, we must grow that faith. He's given us a measure of it. He said with a tiny little seed of faith, we would be able to command this mountain, move from here and be thrown into the sea. Our measure of faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11 verse 6. Just jump down five of the verses where we were. And it reads, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We have to have faith this morning. You enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ based on faith. Amen. We move through our Christian walk based on faith. Our journey is a journey of faith. Hallelujah. And what does faith consist of? We've read it in that all-encompassing text, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for. Notice that hope is part of having faith. This is more than just wishful thinking. It is the vision and faith of your desire. Hallelujah. Folks, you've got to have a hope within you. But it isn't just, I'm hoping that this will happen. I hope that this other thing will come to pass. No, it is the vision and faith of your desire. Something tremendous happens when we hope and faith intertwines with our hope. Faith feeds our hope. How many of you are hoping? Can I see your hands? Amen. Not a hand left unraised. Every one of us have a hope. And those of us in Jesus Christ certainly have a hope of all ages that Jesus Christ is going to return again. And I can assure you, dear friend, Jesus will return, not based on mere hope alone, but based upon his word that he said, I am going away to prepare a place for you, but one day I am coming back again to receive you to myself. Ooh, that sounds good this morning, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Friend, don't lose your faith and don't lose your hope. I know that it's easy to give up hope. I know that how many of you have been like me? You have been praying for something and that particular result has not occurred yet. Wouldn't it just be easier to give up? Of course it would. All of the natural senses in us tell us, just give up. Don't worry about it anymore. But I'm here to tell us, never stop hoping. Never give up. Never quit. I'm telling you, we have a hope, and our hope is intertwined with faith. And when those two collide and they mesh together, we're going to see an outcome of what we have been hoping for. Amen. Abraham and Sarah never stopped. They were waiting for a son, and they had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And you all know the story. They waited until they were past the normal, natural age of bearing children. Sometimes God makes us wait, but I believe in the waiting. Hallelujah. Something big comes out of our waiting. I believe God gets the glory, and it is intensified when we have had to wait for what God is going to do. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it gives us a wonderful view of Abraham. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Oh, hallelujah. That encourages me this morning. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. You see, in the natural, what we see might tell us there's no reason to continue hoping. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you've been hoping that your husband gets saved. You've been hoping that your children come to the Lord. You've been hoping that your wife find Jesus Christ. But on the contrary, in the natural, it just seems they might be even getting worse. But oh dear friend, hear me this morning. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. If you're here this morning, if you're within the sound of my voice, don't stop hoping. Keep on hoping, because Jesus through faith is listening and he is going to answer. Woo, glory to God. Yes, shout amen. Hallelujah. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." I'm telling you, when you get a word of God inside of you, no matter what comes against you, no matter how long you have to wait, I'm telling you, you will not give up hoping, because your hope is not in the circumstance. Your hope is in Jesus Christ, who does not fail. Even though Isaac was born to Sarah and Abraham much later in life, look at verse 20. Man, I'll tell you, this just, it'll just be wind beneath your wings this morning. Romans 4, we're at 18, jump down to verse 20, and it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Oh man, hallelujah. Abraham never wavered. I want to be like an Abraham this morning. I don't want my hope and my faith to ever waver. The Bible says that him who is double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. I want to tell you, I want to get to the point where I don't waver in my hope and in my faith being intertwined together, that God can do what he said he would do. If God's word said that he would give me the desires of my heart, and my desires are in alignment with his word, they're attuned to what he wants. I want you to know that God will accomplish what he said he would accomplish. And I never want to waver in believing the word of God. In a matter of fact, when you and I have to wait it out, when God doesn't answer within the first 24 hours that you've been ill, when God doesn't answer within that first year of your salvation, and your spouse can't understand why it is that you come to church on Sunday morning, why it is that you're here for prayer on Tuesday, why is it that you're going to a Bible study on a Thursday, you're too much in church, when they can't understand that, when your children are as wayward as anyone out in the world, and you've raised them in church, and you've been praying, and you've been telling the Lord about the word that you said, oh God, in your word, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want you to know, my dear friend, this morning, God is doing a work behind the scenes. Your faith is growing stronger. The more you had to wait it out, the more you had to sit in the midnight hour and watch your tears roll off your cheeks and feel the burden of even despair, I want you to know that your faith is growing stronger. When you've had to wait it out, when you've had to be in prayer, when you've been told, hold on, you've got to wait this thing out, your faith is being developed, it is growing, it is getting stronger. So don't ever feel like the waiting is God ignoring you. No, dear friend, God is doing something with us. He's causing our faith to grow, to develop. You're growing stronger. Look at verse 20. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. I don't know how God gets the glory through our lives. I just know that he does. The more that we recklessly abandon ourselves to him and to his cause and to his purposes and to his will, he gets the glory through these marred vessels of clay, even when we're not at the best of our character, even when we're not at the apex of attitude and having a wonderful disposition. I don't know, folks, but God still gets the glory through us. And I just want to say this morning, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare waver in what you have been hoping for. You're growing stronger, and the stronger that you and I become, the more the enemy will know that you will not dare get in our way. You don't have the ability to disjoint us from the path of God. You don't have the ability to rip away my faith or my hope. Why? Because I have grown stronger in the process of waiting. Maybe you feel like you're all out of hope. Have you ever met somebody that's run out of hope? What a sad view that is. There's no spark in their eye. They've lost the gift of being happy almost. The joy of what it is to wake up in the morning to another day that the Lord has made and realize that no matter what, we can rejoice in it. Maybe this morning you came to church and you're all out of hope. And you've been listening this morning about never losing hope, but you've lost your hope. Maybe you're sitting there this morning, or you're in your car, or you're in your house listening to this message somewhere. And you're saying, I can't just make myself hope, Rachel. You're right. You're absolutely right. You can't create hope. Oh, but dear friend, God's word can. This beautiful living word of God can create hope in you when you've lost all hope. This word of God can bring the spark back into you when you have no spark left. It's the word of the Lord. The more of God's word you receive into your spirit, the more your hope will grow and the greater your faith will be. Whoo! Why do you think pastors and teachers here at our church are always encouraging you to get into the Word? Pick up God's Word. Get into it. And I'm going to encourage you. You invest in yourself. Now that we're going to be doing these biblical studies, I'm encouraging you invest in yourself. Get God's word. Get it inside of you. Hallelujah to his name. Once you've got faith in you, then we need to develop that faith. Amen. It isn't just about having faith, but we got to develop faith. There's a book written by Dr. Cho called The Fourth Dimension. And he describes faith as going through an incubation period before we can see or feel the answers to what we've been hoping for through faith. And I want to share those four with you. I thought they were really encouraging to my life, and so I want to share them with you this morning. An incubation period. Dr. Cho, for those of you that do not know, he pastors the world's largest church. His membership is around 1 million members in Seoul, Korea. But he didn't start out that way. He started out small, like you and I this morning here at Journey. We may not be in the thousands, but we don't plan on remaining us four and no more. Amen. Hallelujah. And Dr. Cho talks about four areas of incubation with our faith. And number one, and if you have a pen or a pencil, I would encourage you to write these out. And I've got them up on the screen for you, but write them out because these are going to be good for us. Number one, he says, first, visualize a clear-cut picture of the objective of your faith. Hallelujah. Don't just be general, is what he is saying. You've got to be specific. As you meditate on God's word, visualize what you hope for coming to pass. You've got to get a mental picture of what it is that you want God to accomplish. Is God limited to your mental picture? Of course not. The mental picture isn't for God. It's for you and for me. It gives us a focus. It gives us an area where we can look at and we begin to pray and we begin to seek the Lord and we begin to say, God, such and such and this and that is what I am asking of you, oh God. And we begin to learn to be specific in our times of prayer. Dr. Cho recounts a time when he needed a desk and a chair and a bicycle. And he says that he went into a prayer and he prayed, and guess what? Nothing happened. He didn't receive a desk, he didn't get a chair, and he didn't get a bicycle. More time had passed and nothing had happened. And during his times of prayer, he asked God, what is wrong? Why am I not receiving what I am asking for in prayer? And he goes along to say that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're not being specific. Isn't that something? You're not being specific. The scripture, you got to call those things that are not as though they were, penetrated his spirit. You've got to be detailed. You've got to be as specific as you can in your times of hoping and prayer. See, God cares about details. The proof of that is in the tabernacle. Everything was detailed. There was nothing left to chance. There was nothing where God said, you know, if you feel like you want to make this pole this long, or you want the dimensions of this box, whatever you think would work, then go ahead and do it. No, my dear friend, God was specific when he was given the instructions. So God cares about detail. Amen. Number two. How big is your desire? How bad do you want what you are hoping for? You see, God rewards the earnest seeker, not the casual inquirer. You can't be just laid back and nonchalant about your hopes and expect to get an answer. It takes energy, it takes effort, it takes you doing the seeking, it takes you putting forth the effort. Isn't it interesting how some people will come on Tuesdays and they'll ask us to pray for things, and here we pray and then they never show up again? Now, I'm not saying God hasn't called us to bear one another's burdens, because then we fulfill the law of Christ. But I am saying this, that we need to be individual seekers of the power and the authority and the word and the presence and the face of God Almighty. Nobody else is going to care about your situation, about your desire, the way that God cares about your desire. Hallelujah. Would you say amen to that? Glory to God. You know what? I want you to just take a little bit of time right now, and I want you to look over at a neighbor, and I want you to let them know, I'm going to be an intensive seeker and not just a casual inquirer. Go ahead, do it. Hallelujah. Psalm 69:32 says, let all who seek God's help be encouraged. For the Lord hears the cries of the needy, and he does not despise his imprisoned people. Hallelujah. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. You've got to seek God. Dr. Cho wanted to impact his city for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, he could have told other people to pray. He could have told other people, you know what, why don't you pray for Seoul, Korea? He could have called the missionaries and told the missionaries to pray. But it took him to come and seek the face of the Lord. He was serious about reaching his community. In one of his books, he writes that he was so moved by God, so impassioned to see his city come to Jesus Christ, that he did not live at home for a whole year. He went and he lived inside of his church, and there face to face. And I'm telling you, when we put forth an effort to seek the face of God, God answers. Those who seek me, he said, will find me. Are you seeking God this morning? Number three. Pray for assurance of the answer. Pray for assurance of the answer. Number three, since faith is the assurance of things hoped for, this is where your faith kicks in. Your assurance or guarantee is like the title deed to the thing hoped for. Sometimes we need some assurance. There are times when I say, God, while I'm in the process of developing my faith, of having to wait because I've not yet got the answer, dear God, I'm asking you that by your Holy Spirit, you'd encourage me, you'd give me a boost of the assurance that what I am praying for, what I am hoping for, is going to happen. And you know what, folks? Undoubtedly, God through the Holy Spirit comes and gives me the assurance that I need to help me continue down the path of hoping through faith that things are going to turn out as I've been asking God for. And the fourth thing, speak the word into your situation. Hallelujah. Let me say that one again. That's good. Speak the word into your situation. Speak it boldly into your situation. That's why I'm telling you, you've got to get God's word inside of you. You've got to get the word of the Lord and make it a part of you so that it'll richly, Paul says, it'll richly dwell inside of you, that it'll find its place in you and it'll be comfortable with inside of you, that you won't feel nervous anymore saying amen or praise the Lord or hallelujah. You know, you've got to find that place where the word of God, it just feels natural inside of you. It feels at home inside of you. And when people are talking, you don't have a problem saying to God be the glory. I'm telling you, the word of God needs to take a root inside of us and be at home inside. And when you come up to your situation, you can begin to declare the word of the Lord. You can begin to declare God's word. When you're feeling sick and you've been asking God to heal you, you begin to speak out the word of God and you begin to declare Isaiah 53, by his stripes I am healed. Glory to God. When you're praying for that wayward child or father or son or daughter or mother, you'll begin to quote the word of the Lord that God is not willing that anyone should perish but have everlasting life. And you see, the word of God brings power to the situation. When you're all desperate and you're down and out and your bank book is as empty can be, you can begin to declare, but my God, he said he would supply all of my needs according to his riches through Christ Jesus my Lord. And you see what begins to happen is you begin to declare the word of the Lord, and what is happening right at this moment is the word of the Lord is, it is encouraging you. It is the wind beneath your wings. It's lifting you up this morning. Hallelujah. You can begin to declare the word of the Lord when you are cold, when you are feeling alone, when you are feeling sad and lonely. He is my shield. He is my fortress. Whom shall I fear? He is not a man that he should lie. I'm telling you, when you begin to deliver the word of the Lord in the situation has to bow down to the word of God. Whoo, isn't that good? When Joshua and Caleb came from spying out the land of Canaan, they spoke boldly what they believed. They didn't come timidly, saying, I think maybe we could probably take the land, people. No, they came with such a boldness about them. You know, there's something powerful about faith. It just develops a confidence in us. Not a confidence in our flesh, but a confidence in God who dwells inside of us. Faith in your heart is not enough. Faith must be released through your mouth. Oh, I just sense the Holy Spirit so beautifully. Matter of fact, I just want to open up this altar space, and I want to allow all of us to come and pour out your heart and your soul at these altars. What have you been hoping for? I want to invite you to come and talk to God this morning. I know you feel encouraged. I know the Holy Spirit has come, and He's encouraged you this morning. Your tears are evident of that. The stirring in your spirit is evident of that. And so I want to encourage you right where you are to open up your heart. Those of you that are not here in the sanctuary, maybe you're in your car this morning. Maybe you're in your bedroom. Maybe you're in the kitchen. I don't know where you're at, but I know that this word has encouraged your heart and it's encouraged your spirit. And I want you to raise yourself up right where you're at and begin to declare to the Lord, I am not going to give up. I am going to keep persevering. And those of you who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, today is the day when you and God can begin your relationship. It is a time when you, as a sinner, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins and you say, God, forgive me for being such a sinful individual. Forgive my sinfulness and wash away my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. Cleanse me and wash me and make me white as snow. Oh, dear friend, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Hallelujah. Yes, God bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How we worship you, Jesus.